Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We are justified by faith, the Word of God says. We are justified by faith. I can't emphasize enough the serious nature and the vital importance of having a healthy faith life. We are justified by faith. Think about that. How many people want to be right with God? How many people in the world do all kinds of things, both positive and negative, because they think that somehow that will justify them before God? But the Word of God tells us this, that we are justified by faith. We're justified by faith. The word justify there in the original language is dikaio. It's an aorist passive participle. The aorist is a timeless tense. That means that it's an action that is completed, but there is no reference to time. We don't know when specifically it was completed, and it lasts continually. And so it's a timeless tense. Our justification that comes by faith is not a justification that takes place strictly in time. Yes, obviously, we live in time. Yes, there was a point in time where we believed. But the results of our faith are eternal. And the justification that we possess is eternal. Eternity is not linear. Time is linear. Eternity is a realm. If we think of eternity as simply being endless time in both directions, we won't really understand eternity. Eternity is a realm. And the aorist tense here says that we are justified not only in time, but in that realm called eternity. This is why we are the citizens of New Jerusalem, because our justification is an eternal justification. Our faith is the bridge between time and eternity. By faith we receive from eternity. By faith we are seated above in heavenly places in eternity. By faith we commune with eternity. We come to Jesus boldly at the throne of grace. He is in eternity. The throne of grace is in eternity, but it reaches into time. Faith is our bridge with eternity. We are justified. It's a passive voice. It's very important to understand that it's a passive voice. That means that we didn't do anything to produce that justification. That justification was imparted to us. It was given to us. And that which gave us that justification was faith. The word itself means to render just or righteous or innocent. We have been rendered just, righteous, and innocent. Sometimes Christians say, "I'm not innocent, I'm just forgiven." But that's not a scriptural saying. That's like saying that the new creation is refurbished. People who say, "When I was 20 years old, I was a drug addict." You think you're refurbished. You don't think you're new. If I was refurbished, then God would have a memory of my sins, because I would simply be the same old person, cleaned up and doing better. But then, In that case, justification would not be by faith. Justification would be by cleaned up and doing better. It would not be a passive voice, it would be an active voice. Because then I would have to be doing better because I got cleaned up. No, justification is something we receive, and our faith is what imparts it to us. In verse 2 there it says, by whom we have access by faith. Our access comes by faith. How do I have access into grace? By faith. Do you see the importance of faith? Without faith, I can't access grace. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Stand is the word histakamen. It's a perfect active indicative. Perfect means that it's an action that's completed in time. Sometimes we can actually point to the time. In this case, we can. In this case, we know that this came at the cross. So there was a specific point in time where we were granted access by faith into grace. It's an active voice. That means the subject produces the action of the verb. Okay, who's the subject? We're the subject. We have this access. Now we have faith. And by our faith, access comes. We produce the faith. Now, when I say we produce the faith, we have to be extremely careful that this not be misunderstood. It's not our faith that we produce. There is a crowd of Christians who has faith in their faith. And this is a problem. It can be very subtle and it can sneak up on us. We must never try to have faith in our faith. In other words, sometimes you'll hear, you didn't get the answer to your prayer because you don't have enough faith. You weren't healed because you lack faith. But that's faith in faith. A person is healed not because they have enough faith. A person is healed because they come to the healer, to the Savior. The woman who had an issue of blood, who touched the hem of his garment, she wasn't a woman of great faith. She was a woman of great desperation. And she came thinking, if I could only touch his hem, I've seen what he has done. I've seen him heal people. If I could only touch the hem of his garment, then maybe I'll be healed also. And sure enough, and what did Jesus say to her? Woman, your faith has made you whole. It's not your great faith. It's the quality of your faith. The faith that you had in me. If you touched the hem of my garment, you knew who to come to. That has made you whole. There was never a time when somebody came to Jesus with a need that he would say no. Even to the lepers, all except one, never came back to say thank you. They just took their healing and went on. But only the one leper came back. You see, they had the faith they needed. They just didn't have a lot of it. But they had the faith they needed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you will receive. That tells me that it's not a question of a quantity of faith. It's a question of simply having faith to ask. Nothing more than that. Faith to ask. That does not take a lot of faith. Just faith to ask. Some people think, well, I have to believe that it will be done for me and then I'll get it. Okay, there is a passage that says that if you ask and believe and it shall be done for you. But what about people like those who are praying for Peter when he was in jail? They were asking, and when Peter was freed by the angel, came knocking at the door, the young maid answers the door. She's so surprised, she leaves him outside the door, and she goes in and says, oh, you saw his ghost. You see, these were not people who were expecting the answer to their prayers. They were praying without expectation. So you could say that they were not believing as they were asking, but they were asking and God was responding. In my faith, nothing is really left up to me. What it is about is not what faith I have, but who I am one with. In Galatians 2:20, the Word of God says, I'm crucified with Christ. The word crucified there is in the perfect passive indicative. That means it was done once and for all as an action in time. Passive voice means that I received the action of being crucified. I didn't produce it. I received it. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, that word of the Son of God, we need to talk a little bit about that. The phrase is teto huio to theo, and it's an objective genitive. Okay, genitive is a case of possession. So this is an objective genitive. And so it's saying the faith that is in Christ. Not that I have faith in Christ. I believe in God. That's not what it's saying. That's different. But the objective genitive says that the faith that is in the location that is the Son. In other words, He is the place of the faith. So the faith that is located in the Son of God. Well, this gives me a very strong idea of how faith works. What is the faith of the Son of God? That is the faith by which I am justified. That's the faith by which we're made righteous. It's the faith of the Son of God. In other words, the faith that is located in the location of the Son of God. He is the physical place where that faith is found. This is how it works. Hebrews 4:16, without faith it's impossible to please Him. In Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. Sin is when, literally, hamartia, when we miss the mark. This is how it works. In Ephesians 2:15, He abolished in His flesh, the Savior did, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. It is not by law, it is not by performance. Faith has nothing to do with law, faith has nothing to do with performance. In Zechariah 3, Joshua the high priest was the perfect example of this. Faith has nothing to do with law, faith has nothing to do with performance. Joshua was called by God to be a high priest. This is not obviously the Joshua that led Israel out of Egypt. That's a different Joshua. This was Joshua who came out of Babylon hundreds of years later, after Israel had left Egypt. Israel had been in Babylon. Joshua was raised in Babylon. He was one of the few Israelites who went back into the promised land. He returned from Babylon. The vast majority of Israelites did not return. Really, only about 90,000 in that ballpark of Israelites returned. That was out of several million people. And they came in three waves. Joshua was one of those that returned. And he was called by God to be a high priest. This man had a tremendous heart after God. However, it was true that he had filthy garments. Filthy garments means that he had an unclean lifestyle. Joshua's heart was right. His lifestyle was not. What Joshua did, I believe that he did in ignorance. If he did it in rebellion, he could not have been the high priest. But the sins of ignorance are covered by the blood of Christ. And so we know that Joshua had a tremendous heart after God. He was called by God to be the high priest. He was one of the two olive branches in Zechariah chapter 4. He was a man who delighted in God. But he wasn't well taught. You see, he grew up in Babylon, immersed in Babylonian culture, accepting of Babylonian ways. He didn't know any better. And he had an unclean lifestyle, and Satan tried to accuse him because of that lifestyle. Now, God did not disqualify Joshua from being high priest because of the lifestyle. God used him, called him, put him into that office just as he was. Because faith was not about performance. Faith revealed what was in Joshua's heart. And so, we are not justified by the law. Our faith is not based in the law. Continuing there in Ephesians 2:15 in the B part of the verse, "For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." How do we have peace with Christ? Because of the two, of Christ and of us, he made one new man. We have a unity with him. It's a spiritually organic unity, whereby 2 Corinthians 5:17 describes us as a new species. This species did not exist before. Jesus was a God-man. He was fully God and fully man. Get this, Jesus is still a God-man. He is still fully God and fully man. But now, we are his body. As the body of Christ, we have the full life of Christ residing in us. Because we are one new man, we are one person with Christ. This is difficult probably for some people to accept. But look it up in your own Bible. We are his body. My leg is not separate from me. My leg is a part of me. There is nothing that is contained in my body that is separate from me. Now, some things might work better than others. Perhaps somebody has arthritis in their knees and their knee doesn't work well, but it is still their body. We are the body of Christ. The initiations that we receive from the head regulate the body. This is how faith works. We have been reconciled, in verse 10, with Christ, both of us, unto God, in one body by the cross. In one body by the cross. So this tells me something. The oneness that I have with Christ can only be experienced when there's a cross in my life. Positionally, it's a done deal. But I don't always experience what is positionally true. That requires growth. We are growing into who we are. In other words, our experience is progressively conforming to our position. And so we are becoming who we are. The way that faith works is this. We have the faith that is located in Christ because we are the one new man with Christ. We are half of the hybrid being that is the God-man. He provided the divinity. We provide the humanity. He still has a human body while he is fully God. But we are that human body. We must never forget that. How is it that I can have Christ's faith? Well, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. John 1:14 says that Christ was the living word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, there you have it. The word of God produces faith in me. The living word that I become one with produces faith in me. As I receive thoughts from the mind of Christ, and remember, we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. As I receive thoughts from the mind of Christ, it produces His thoughts in me. His thoughts and my agreement with those thoughts, with those thoughts becoming my frame of reference, now I have the mind of Christ, which is the very essence of faith. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. That can only come through a frame of reference. My frame of reference is the mind of God through His Word. When I have that as my frame of reference, I'm operating in faith and I am completely justified. You see, the justification that we have came by the blood of Christ. That cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It causes God to forget our sins. This is why the only sin that really exists today is stepping outside of faith. That's the reason for Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Only when I step out of faith do I miss the mark. And it's not because I've done or not done something, it's because I've stepped outside of the initiations of the mind of Christ, which is the mind of the body. In the same way that the mind initiates to the hand, certain electrical impulses take place in the brain through chemical processes. Those electrical impulses are sent via the nervous system to the hand. Yet, they are very specific. For example, I can bend one finger and not the others. It's very specific. Or I can twist my hand but not move my arm. Very specific. Yet, it's electrical impulses from the mind going to the hand that cause these things to happen. They are selective. They are precise. They are specific. It's not that an electrical impulse enters the arm and just kind of goes where it wills. It's that there is a specific result to the impulse that's sent to a specific place to produce a specific effect. Now, my finger doesn't do the thinking. My mind does the thinking. My finger simply does what my mind tells it. It doesn't take any effort in the finger. What it does, however, take is blood and energy. If there is blood flowing to the finger, it will have the energy that it needs to express the will of the mind. What we require to operate in faith is blood and energy. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood cleanses us from all sins. The blood cleanses us from condemnation. The blood cleanses us from the effects of self-righteousness. The blood cleanses us from the effects of self-consciousness. The blood cleanses us from anything that is not of faith. And we need energy. Faith works by love in Galatians 5:6. The word works is energeo, and what it means is faith is energized by love. if I am to respond in faith the way that my hand or my finger can respond to my mind, that is the way that we are designed to respond to the mind of Christ, which is the mind of the body, which we are a part of, then we need those two things. We need the blood, and we need energy. We need the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, and we need the energization of the love of God. Then we can respond in faith. It's not up to us. It's strictly what we have received. It's strictly what is normal, what is spiritually natural to who we are. Just the same way as the muscle cells in the finger have mitochondria to convert energy that they have received from another source into an energy form they can use, we receive the love of God. You see, the mitochondria did not produce the glucose that they are utilizing for that energization. They received the glucose. How? Nourishment. They received it through nourishment. How do we receive the energization of the love of God? When the Holy Spirit utilizes the word of His grace and reveals through that word the character of God to us. The Holy Spirit's nourishment. Jesus said to the disciples, I have meat to eat you know not of. We have meat to eat that cannot be seen. But yet, it's extremely real and it's extremely effective. It's very powerful. And so we get nourished by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit's application of the Word of God. And we are able to have faith because we can receive the thoughts of the head and respond. Therein is our faith. There's never been a time where my hand questioned my mind. My hand has never questioned to itself or said to the other hand, has the mind forgotten me? Will the mind do what the mind said? Will the mind be faithful to take care of us hands? What is the mind's thought toward us hands? Does the mind like us? Does the mind love us? Will the mind be faithful to us? Put in those terms, we see the silliness of that type of thinking. Yet sometimes, being the body of Christ, we think that way. Will Christ, will God remember us? Will He be faithful to us? Has He forgotten us? Will He take care of us? And we start to think in these very strange thoughts that are apart from the thoughts of the mind of the Savior, the mind of Christ revealed in the Word of God. And yet we'll think these things because we're strange hands. But the fact of the matter is, of course God will be faithful. That's not even a thought. That's not even a consideration. Where is that from? That makes no sense. It is illogical. It is irrational. What do you mean, will God take care of us? What do you mean, will the mind be faithful to the hand? That is a silly thought. It's one body. The mind regulates that body. The mind is in control of that body. The mind causes that body to move. People are so worried about the decisions they make. Am I making the right decision? Am I going to miss my call? Am I going to miss those people? Am I going to do the right things? When all that it says in Proverbs 5 is, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and then He will direct your path. It works like this. My hand is not anxious about what it will pick up or touch. My hand simply waits upon the mind, and it does this by default. It's not something that it has to worry about doing. It simply does this. It's available because it's connected. We stay connected to our Savior. How do we stay connected to our Savior? By a healthy diet of the Word of God, by prayer, by meditation. We stay connected to our Savior. We don't have to become anxious about our Savior communicating with us. We simply stay available through our connection. As we are connected, the mind will send impulses to the hand, and the hand will respond according to the impulses that were sent. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The hand requires no thoughts, and sometimes as we respond to God in faith, we don't actually realize that we are responding to God in faith. We're simply going about our business. We're simply staying connected. We're simply doing things that we know are right before God. We simply go about as godly men and women who possess the life of God. Yes, we are human. Yes, we fail. But in our failures, we always practice rebound. In other words, my hand may have a twitch, but it doesn't mean that it can't respond. And so, we simply stay connected, and then God sends the impulses necessary to move us in whichever way He desires, the mind desires. Do you see the simplicity of faith? This is the faith that is located in the Son of God. In Romans 7:4, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Oh, how many people think that their faith is a matter of production? Your faith is a matter of being in the body of Christ, of availability through connection, not availability through production. Your availability may have production or it may not. When you're asleep, your hands are not very productive. Your legs are not very productive. But they are available if you should wake up. They will instantly become productive according to the mandates, according to the ordering of your mind. And likewise, we may not be productive, but the issue isn't whether we are productive. The issue is whether we are connected and through that connection available. The rest is up to the mind. Sometimes people may lay funny, let's say on their arm, and they cut off the blood flow, the circulation to their hand, and for a little while their hand won't move. And you do something like straighten your arm out if you realize what you've done. And you can feel the warmth coming back into your hand, and it's not so stiff. It actually hurts a little bit before the warmth comes in. This is like the person who doesn't know how to apply the blood of the Lamb. Wounds come from a lack of application of the blood of the Lamb. Paralyzed with fear comes when I don't know how to apply the blood of the Lamb. Indecision can come when I don't know how to apply the blood of the Lamb and the love of God. The reason why the hand is stiff is not because impulses are not getting through. The reason why the hand is stiff is because the blood is not getting through, and then the necessary energy production is minimized. And in the minimization of the energy production, it's enough to keep it alive, but it's not enough to effect an action. It's like us, when we fear, or when we step outside in our thinking the love of God, when we don't look for mercy in Jude 21, when we live in condemnation. We're a part of the body. We're still connected, but we're no longer available. The lack of availability did not come through disconnection. The lack of availability came from a lack of the blood and of energy. If I become disconnected from the love of God, or if I become disconnected from applying the blood of Christ, then I won't be able to respond in the way that I am designed as the body of Christ. And so what happens? I have to let the blood flow back in. When I allow the blood to flow back in, I can start receiving the love of God again in my experience. And before long, I work just as well as I did before. Just like my arm, the blood flows back in. You can feel the warmth of the flow. And before long, it's just as though there was never any interruption of the flow of blood. And it works just as well. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law brings in that interruption. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ. We bring forth fruit unto God because of the oneness that we have with our Savior. Now in James 2:24, the Word of God does say that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Well, this is what that means. My hand is connected to my arm, but it cannot claim to have the life of my body or the life of my head if it can't move. But as soon as that blood flows and the energy is produced and the love of God is infused, if you will, then it works perfectly fine. It's justified by its production, by what it does, by the work it can do. It says, I am a hand because I can move. I am a hand because I can respond. I am a hand because I can grasp. I am a hand because what I am able when I have a fellowship with my right source. I am a hand. What it doesn't say is that the hand strives. What it doesn't say is that the hand is the source of the works. What it doesn't say is that the hand chooses apart from the head. It's simply what the hand can do because the life is flowing that justifies it as a hand. And that is likewise with us. It is because of the results that we can claim we are justified. Because the life of God is efficacious in us. The blood of Christ is efficacious in us. It changes the way we think. It changes who we are. It changes what we're all about. It totally transforms us. It's efficacious in us. Our faith is efficacious. Our faith brings us to the cross where we start to experience the oneness of the new man. Where we start to experience the oneness with Christ. I wish people could understand this. There is such a misunderstanding overall in Christianity of the cross. The cross is not when you grin and bear it. The cross is what brings you to Christ. The cross is the passageway. The cross is how I get to the life of God. There's such a negative connotation to the cross. Yet the cross is the most wonderful, positive, liberating provision that God has ever given to man. It's the source of our life because it brings us to the life of God. In that life of God is where I experience the fullness of His love. The fullness of His mercy. The fullness of all that faith does and brings. The fullness of who I am. Nobody can experience the fullness of themselves even. Of our own humanity. Of our own humanity. Apart from our Savior. Because we are made complete in Him. Apart from the cross, we are incomplete human beings. This is why apart from the cross, people have so much trouble. They're not operating in faith, because it's impossible to operate in faith apart from the cross, apart from the oneness with the one you man, which comes through the cross only. No, we are complete in Him. That means that the cross leads me to joy. The cross leads me to satisfaction. The cross leads me to contentment. The cross deals with depression, with anger, with anxiety, with insecurity. The cross deals with my bad self-image. The cross deals with my past. This is what my relationship was with my parents when I was a kid. This is what people did to me when I was a teenager. I felt so rejected. How many people say that? I felt so rejected and now I feel scarred by it. The cross eliminates all of that. The cross is what brings us into being accepted in the Beloved and the experience of our acceptance. The cross is what brings us into the experience of what it means that I have loved you with an everlasting love. The cross is what allows God's loving kindness to draw me and to conform me to His image. The cross is where I lose the emotional baggage. I lose the emotional reactionism. I lose the moods. I lose, get this, the intellectualism. The cross is where I find the heart of God. I'm not saying that it's not good to be intellectual. I'm saying it's not good to be intellectual apart from the mind of God. Because there is no such thing as an intellectual apart from the mind of God. There may be someone who's filled with their own ways, but my Bible calls such a person a fool, not an intellectual. Now the cross is our hope. The cross is our joy. The cross is our peace. Because the cross is our source of the life of God, our passageway into that life. The fullness of life is found only at the cross. How many people are miserable? How many people are suffering, but unnecessarily, because they refuse to take up that cross? They live in that self-orientation because they think in that self-orientation they will preserve their life, but they find that that is the place only where they lose it. So in the cross that we pick up by faith, we find our life, and we find that it's abundant. Get this, I can't have a relationship with another person unless I pick up a cross. Why? Because then I'll always be closed in unto myself, and it will not be possible to connect with you apart from the cross. Faith produces that cross in our lives. A cross is not something I can produce. The faith that is found in Christ produces that cross in our lives. When we draw near, how do I draw near? Through the Word of God, through prayer, meditating on His Word. I draw near, and a cross is produced by faith. That life is produced by faith. Love is received by faith. Joy is produced by faith. Peace in the heart is produced by faith. All the things that the cross brings us into are produced by faith, because faith produces the cross. This is why the Word of God says, "Great peace have they that love Thy Word, and nothing will offend them." Nothing. How can a person have great peace just by loving His Word? Because His Word will become their frame of reference. The cross will be produced in their life. and they'll take up the life of God. Offense comes only in that which is corrupt. In other words, it's like this. If you infect an arm or a leg, you can get gangrene. And this can happen to believers. They become infected. And they get spiritual gangrene. This is why Romans 16 says not to have any fellowship, to mark and avoid those who cause divisions in the body of Christ. It is infectious. It's like gangrene. And that limb must be severed, or it will kill the whole body. That is the ultimate, really, of stepping outside of the faith and laying down the cross that would produce the life of God. You can't always tell when that happens, but eventually it will manifest itself, where it starts to bring death to the body, harm to the body. And an infection comes, you have to get rid of the infection. How do I get rid of spiritual infections? I guard my heart. And I cast down all imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the doctrines of Christ. I cast them down. If I embrace them, they'll infect me. Those things that are contrary to the doctrine that we have learned. So we cast them down. We mark and avoid. Not because we don't love, but because we want to live. It seems like a difficult thing sometimes, but that's a part of faith. Knowing that we live in an angelic conflict. I think of the American Civil War. How many soldiers lost limbs? The amputations of the legs were notorious. Very famous. Imagine that. A bullet penetrates your leg. An infection sets in. And the immune system can't fight it off. And it turns into gangrene. And the surgeon has to take the saw and cut off that limb. Well, Jesus did say, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your arm offends you, your hand offends you, cut it off. And this is what he's talking about. Gangrene in the body is painful and difficult. But it's a reality of the spiritual warfare that we are living in. And not until we have our glorified body in the New Jerusalem will everything work perfectly. Because in the New Jerusalem there is no warfare. But here on earth, for a season, once in a while, sometimes, it may become necessary. And it's a grievous process. And we weep when that happens. But it's still necessary. Because the body must live. And faith, trusting doctrine, not leaning on our own understanding. Pastor Stevens said that is one of the characteristics of people who are operating in the kingdom of darkness. They are leaning on their own understanding. They're leaning on the natural mind. But we trust God. Trust God for our lives. Trust God for each other. Trust God for our circumstances. Always trusting God, knowing that we are one with our Savior. And our Savior is seated on the throne. And we are seated with Him. We have the faith that is in the Son of God. because we are one with the Son of God. And we practice that faith. And we allow it to become our frame of reference by having His Word become our mind. And we hear, we receive, we live, we think His thoughts and respond to His initiations. And we develop a life of faith that is pleasing to God, because we are one with Him. And we embrace that oneness. We don't step back from it and analyze with our natural thinking. We embrace that oneness and we live in it, and then we live in faith. Amen.